Hello, everybody, and welcome to Walking Between Shadows. I'm Taryn Elliott, and along with me is my amazing husband.
I'm Ben Elliott.
And we're here to talk about true crime all the time.
Today's a special day. We're starting to uncover and unfold a lot of things about Deborah and Ambria's case that we've wondered for years now, over 23 years. So today we welcome Christy Sedlock, one of Debbie's best friends, and her brother, Tom. And we're going to talk about some things we've learned along the way, some thoughts that maybe have come to mind since starting this a few weeks ago. And again, this is not scripted. This is just us talking. So welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to start by reminding people that this was a case where a mother and daughter were found brutally murdered in their trailer in 1999 in the Milan, Tennessee area. Since then, we have gone through the many friends and family that we can find, the suspects, the case notes we've reviewed. We've talked about people along the way that were a part of their lives every day and some that weren't. And so I want to start by saying this case has been something in limbo, and probably the best thing that's happened to me along this way, aside from making these great friends sitting here with me.
Thank you.
I was just told last week by the Sheriff's Department that they had to have an answer soon. The two things they mentioned was that you deserve an answer.
Yes, he does.
The family deserves an answer. And the lead investigator in the case was emotional about that. The other person that was mentioned for those answers is Debbie's dad.
Darryl, Debbie's, I don't know, half-sister or steps, but Darcy needs answers too.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Jamie and Sarah and Selena.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
There's allegations that this was an election move. When this was put out in the paper in 2018, let's say, and there was a story run on WBBJ.
Right.
That was in 2018. But this case was not reopened in 2018.
You know, a lot of people, because, and we were even under that impression because of that story WBBJ ran in 2018, that was when the current administration was taking a look at cold cases and re-examining evidence. It was 2016 when they reopened it and re-engaged with it before this story was published in 2018. So, again, we set the precedent in our first episode or two that it could have been an election ploy for the sheriff to put himself out there as re-examining cold cases, and that's just simply not true. The truth is they had already been working on this for 2 years with people that we still don't even know they were working on it with before that story ran in 2018 on WBBJ.
Okay. So the other thing I want to add to that is we all had a very big concern that this was pointing in one direction.
Right.
In this presentation, we refer to DNA evidence that initially Brad Oliver, the investigator from the Gibson County Sheriff's Office, said that, you know, over the years it had been resubmitted so many times that the lab says that it's diluted and disappearing and probably not of very good quality. And in the testing that they had already had done early on, it came back either as inconclusive or it helped them rule certain people out, certain suspects out early on. Since then, having it retested, they're finding out that the multiple times it's been tested and retested, that it's just worn out. There's basically nothing left there anymore to test. So we discussed alternative testing or different bench methods that were used to determine DNA, other things like familial DNA. Does the lab and the TBI have the capacity to do that sort of thing? Or would the Sheriff's Department be interested in trying to find out who they could hire to come in and do that?
It's been tested a lot. They do have results from it, and those results are otherwise inconclusive. Julie is the nurse that treated Jimmy Hand, who was the primary investigator, Now, fast forward to when Jimmy Hand dies.
2018,
that's right. So Jimmy Hand is in the hospital. He's dying of cancer, but he was still of sound mind. Now, this was the lead investigator for the sheriff's department. Y'all probably talked to him.
More than likely.
Yeah, probably.
During his visit there...
Yeah, so in the story, we talk about Jimmy Hand being talked to by a nurse that was taking care of him when he was sick in 2018. And I kind of think we centered that around our initial show or episode where we thought everything happened in 2018. And turns out that the timeline when Jimmy Hand was in the hospital and talking to this healthcare professional, that it was 2015, not 2018. Jimmy Hand actually passed away in 2018.
She started prodding him for information and answers.
Good for her.
He also had explained exactly where Deborah and Ambria were in the house. She is, of everybody on this list outside of you guys, the most credible. We were under the impression that she was interviewed and talked to everybody back in 2018. We also found out the case was officially reopened to examination in 2016. And the resubmission of physical evidence took about 2 years. That's why it didn't come out until 2018 that they were working on it. And they did that story on Channel 7 News.
But we have a great appreciation for the Gibson County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Paul Thomas, Chief Deputy Danny Lewis, Chief Investigator Brad Oliver, and Special Investigator Raymond Simmons. We submitted a Freedom of Information request to the sheriff sometime around our third episode, and the sheriff was very professional in his response. The very next day, he called me and invited me down to have a discussion with them and talk about the information that they could share and a little bit about what their plans are going forward. It's an active investigation. And that was the first thing I found out. And they're not going to reveal much of anything in that active investigation. In fact, they appreciated what we were doing by trying to keep this case and the highlights that we know out in the public. And hopefully that'll help garner some more people to come in and talk to them and find some resolution to this 23-year-old cold case. So I have to say, you know, it was a very professional response, and we have had nothing but absolute cooperation out of them to the extent that they can cooperate. But they have been very professional, and I just want to say one more time, thank you very much, and we're proud to have people like that on our side.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so the investigator is Brad Oliver with the Gibson County Sheriff's Department. And then Raymond Simmons. He was an officer in Humboldt, and right. Then he retired as the chief a few years ago.
It seemed like the men in this group of people that were surrounding Debbie at the time of the murders, and pretty much throughout her life, seemed to keep women down. That seems to be a theme throughout this, is how, you know, the men in these groups would keep these women down, and
very
women got comfortable in that.
Yeah, very misogynistic group.
Yes.
It seems like he and his brother have people for years have had them so scared that that's held a lot of people back. But a statement that Brad Oliver made to me was, you know, with time, they're not scared anymore.
No, they're not.
They're sick of it. There was evidence found in different directions than what we've been told in the past from the trailer. And that this woman probably would become a witness at some point.
We were told by a prior investigator that Ambria's backpack was found on Estes Esquire Road. And since we've learned from the Gibson County Sheriff's Department that it was not Ambria's backpack, they did, however, say that there were personal items of Debbie's found and that a witness saw someone placing boxes out by the road on the weekend before her body was found and Ambria was found. This neighbor inquired about putting that box or stuff from that box in her yard sale and was told no, but after the person left that placed the box out by the road, the neighbor went out and investigated and dug through the box, being a nosy neighbor, more or less,
right. And
said that she had seen personal effects from Debbie and Ambria, toys and clothes. And that was it. That's where it ended. Nothing else was said about that.
Right.
road with remembering Tommy talking to you one time, and you had gone to his house, and we thought maybe it was here in Trenton, but we weren't sure. We're still not 100% sure.
Right.
And that there were at least two women in that house at that time, and one of them you were reasonably sure was supposed to come down here and pick Debbie and Ambria up and take her to Missouri. They came down here for 3 hours and went back.
Never went and checked on Debbie, never called.
Never did nothing.
Which was...
stirred her up.
On or about Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yes.
Of that week.
Yes.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, because they were going to stay the whole holiday weekend. Because it was Easter weekend.
Right.
And we thought initially that it was maybe that Monday before or something like that. No, she wasn't supposed to show up until either Tuesday night or Wednesday.
That would be the 30th or the 31st of March. Okay.
And that they came down, stayed 3 hours, went right back.
Yes.
So they're very suspicious about that. That also brings me back to what we said about her cars, that Buick Regal.
We don't even know what happened to it.
They don't either. All they knew was that 1996 Beretta. It was blue.
And see, that was something new that just popped up. We didn't know anything about a new car.
About that a lot.
And she wanted to buy it.
And yeah, they wouldn't let her buy it.
They wouldn't let her buy it from the car lot. Well, car lots go lots of money, you know? That's just,
You got a thought there, huh?
The car was supposed to be paid off.
The Regal.
So, the car was paid off. Why would somebody try to buy it from the car lot? From someone who had to work out a plan with the landlord to make payments on the rent.
Exactly.
So that she could move in.
So we understand from just talking to people that maybe the Regal was in disrepair and it wasn't running. Do you remember anything about that? About that car not running or
breaking down?
The car was running. Last I remember seeing it, it was running.
Yeah.
It was driving. She was still driving.
She was still driving the car.
Yeah. All right, so the other thing that we understand is that Debbie was sharing Jamie's van for a few weeks.
So we had somebody come forward and tell us that Jamie and Debbie were sharing a vehicle in the last few weeks before she died, that Jamie was having to carry her to work, and, you know, she was working two jobs, so that was cumbersome, I'm sure, and pick up Ambria from school or take her to school. Or take her to catch the bus for school. And so Jamie and Debbie shared that responsibility in the last few weeks.
Until she got the car, the Beretta.
Yeah, until she got that new car. But, you know, we can imagine that that was probably, you know, a pretty stressful thing to have to do. And, you know, we understand that Jamie probably had a job with a construction company or something like that. And he had work he had to do. Debbie didn't have a lot of family around. Tommy was on the road, and at this point, Aunt Sandy had passed away, and Uncle Bill Lott was still living, but she just didn't have a lot to rely on, so I would imagine that was a pretty tough time for her and Jamie having to share a vehicle.
Tommy, I want to take some time for you and Christy both to discuss that time period for y'all. And one of the things that's come to mind about your experiences in 1999 and prior to that is in the times that you were not around when you were on the road, did you talk to Debbie?
Not when I was on the road, no.
Never stopped and called her or anything like that?
I barely called a girl I was with at the time.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Was there ever a time that Debbie expressed some sort of stress that made you feel uneasy about her situation?
Jim. She started telling me she was terrified of Jim.
She did.
I asked her why one time. She never would tell me why. She said something about him she didn't like.
Yeah.
But he scared the hell out of her. Yeah. Yeah. I've been around a few times, but not.
Yeah.
You know, Christy was asked to just kind of elaborate on things that really piqued her memory, and in a segment here, she talks a lot about the handful of people that she remembers, and one of them was Jim. This was a friend of Jamie's, and he creeped her out. She didn't like him. And even Tommy elaborated on that, that he'd been around Jim a time or two, and just said that he knew Debbie didn't like him. He knew that Debbie had a problem with Jim being around.
What about Bill Lott?
That's my uncle. Yeah. He was actually, well, he was married to my mama's sister, mm-hmm. Sandy. Mm-hmm.
So the sheriff's department informed me that the house that y'all were living in Humboldt, we thought that Bill owned that house. And it was the mayor of Humboldt. He actually became mayor, I think, after the fact. And he had talked to Raymond a lot and, again, had this certain amount of guilt because he said y'all were having way too much fun to still live in the house.
Right.
Yeah. And so he apparently had come back and talked to Raymond and Brad a time or two over the past 10 years. And just, again, do you know anything different? And it always came down to him having a lot of regret.
Yes, he did.
So, Christy, is there anything that you want to add about your experiences with Debbie and anybody that we've talked about prior to?
Well, the Hatcher man, he was always really verbally abusive and aggressive person, especially towards women. Very, very abusive. He didn't think twice about hitting a female at the time, mm-hmm. or blackmailing them to do whatever he wanted to do.
Aunt Sandy seemed to be the safe person for Debbie and Ambria. And after she passed away, Bill Lott was not quite so soft, I don't believe. We talked a little bit about that with Tommy and Christy.
Yeah, Christy points out in a segment in here that Uncle Bill was Uncle Bill, and he liked to drink. He was not easy to get along with. He only wanted things seen his way, and he was just a tough case, you know, for Ambria and Debbie both. And I think he regretted being that way after they were murdered. And he expresses that, too. And Christy does a good job laying out what that was like for them to experience that. I mean, she experienced it firsthand, too. And even Tommy verified that, you know, Bill could be a tough cookie.
Debbie and I and Amory were all staying with Uncle Bill. He got mad because she started dating Mr. Robert. Mm-hmm. And he was an African-American man.
I remember that.
He got really, really mad.
That's when so Debbie,